evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show, and I'm your host, Virginia Ashbery. Tonight, Life Rattle number 1306 features three classic stories from Life Rattle writer Vanessa Mariga. Vanessa Mariga was born the younger of two daughters in Sudbury in 1979 and grew up in Lively, Ontario, just outside Sudbury. She went to an all-girls school in Sudbury before starting University of Toronto at Mississauga in 1998. She graduated in 2002, then went on to study graduate journalism at Humber College. On last month's classic show, Vanessa Mariga read a series of stories set in and concerning her hometown. On tonight's program, we're going to hear three more stories by Mariga about being young and beautiful and having a damn good time. You're listening to Life Rattle from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Life Rattle stories often contain strong language and adult situations. And trust me, this is probably about the most foul language show you will hear on Life Rattle. The swearing in these stories is not gratuitous. It's honest, so listener discretion is advised. So let's listen now to Vanessa Mariga reading her first story tonight here on Life Rattle. It's titled ID.
ID by Vanessa Mariga. I butt out my cigarette, lean across the table, and yell over Junction Creek's cover of No Woman, No Cry. Lissa, I'm telling you, I think that I actually met a half-decent guy 3 nights ago, right here at the townhouse when Jen and I dropped by to check out the band. Lissa sips her Coke and cranes her neck across the table. What? I can't hear you. The band's just too loud. Tell me over the next set break. I scoot my chair around the table and plop my elbows on the sticky tabletop. Seriously, Liss, I met this really cute guy named Shane here last night. He's tall, not too muscly, and, well, looks like a cross between Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters and Prince William. Lissa tucks her hair behind her right ear and leans forward in her chair. Vanessa, you have been holding out on me. You met a cute guy at the townhouse? What does he do? It's the funniest thing. I had just finished telling Jen that I think those girls who go out solely to meet guys are really sad. Then this real cute guy, Shane, just sauntered over and introduced himself, out of nowhere. We chatted for hours and hours. Shane's published a few short stories and complimented me on my winter boots. He studies ecological biology at Laurentian University. But here's the best part. Shane went to his parents' house in Sault Ste. Marie yesterday. He'll be gone until Boxing Day. His parents own this restaurant, and on Christmas Day, they open it to the less fortunate and give out free Christmas dinners. Looks like Santa came a little early for me this year. I wink at Lissa, lean back in my chair, and bob my head to the beat of Junction Creek. Good going, Vanessa. By the way, whatever happened to that guy from school you dated before Christmas break? Who, Chuck, my calculus tutor? Nah, he was just too weird for me. I found out that he shaves his ass with a Lady Remington, and that was the end of that. I shudder and swig my beer. This new Shane guy is different. I can tell. I drum my fingers, nod my head, and bite my bottom lip. Oh God, Lissa, Shane just walked through the door. See him? He's paying his cover to Richard at the door, walking over to the bar. Shit, do you think that he saw me? I slouch down in my chair, smear on some lip gloss, and fluff up my hair. Lissa glances over her left shoulder and looks back at me. Ooh, he is really good looking. I see what you mean about the Dave Grohl thing. He's looking this way. I think that you should go and talk to him. I've got your back. Besides, isn't he supposed to be in Sault Ste. Marie prepping the turkeys for the homeless? I stiffen my back, smack my lips, and narrow my eyes. Lissa, you're right. The little bastard lied to me. It's too damn early for this horseshit. I place my hands on the table, pull myself out of my chair, straighten the creases on my red blouse, and strut across the bar. Hey there. I smile and lean against the bar next to Shane. Hey, he cocks his head and furrows his brow. Is your name by any chance Vanessa? I throw my arms in the air, plant my feet in front of him, and point my finger in his face. You know what? You have a hell of a lot of nerve. Now you're going to pretend that you have no clue who I am? Like you haven't already made me look like a big enough idiot by feeding me that bullshit about visiting your parents and feeding the hungry? That was a good one. Well, you're just another sorry asshole. So help me God, I don't dump this beer down your shirt, except that it would be a perfectly good waste of a really shitty beer. He shakes his head. I suck in a breath. He smiles. I clench my fist. He extends his right hand. Hi, my name is Wayne. Excuse me? I fold my arms and narrow my eyes. My twin brother Shane phoned from Sault Ste. Marie this afternoon. You must be the Vanessa that he told me all about. I slink back to Lissa. Junction Creek blasts a cover of Should I Stay or Should I Go? Shit, Lissa, I think that I'm in trouble. I freaking identical twins. I actually contemplated getting him to show me a driver's license, but then I remembered that Shane had a small scar over his left eye, and this guy has nothing. Lissa drops her jaw and pounds the tabletop. The empty glass and beer bottle jump, rattle, and clatter. She grabs the edges of the table and leans across it. You can't be serious! Holy shit! I rest my elbow on the tabletop, tap my temple, and bob my knee. I can't believe it. I feel like such a moron. Wayne saunters over to my table, slides an empty chair over, and plops down in it. You know, I used to go to school in North Bay, and one night my brother rolled into town, didn't bother calling me, screwed some girl, then took off. 2 days later, I'm sitting in the cafeteria, and this girl comes up to me and starts screaming at me for not phoning her. I figured out what happened and told her that she must have mistaken me for my twin brother. The chick bitch-slapped me right there in front of everyone. I must say, you seem much nicer than her. Wayne winks at me and sips his beer. I stare at the ring of beer that pools on the table around the empty bottle, pick at the label on the bottle, and a smile creeps across my face. Well, what can I say? I didn't screw your brother, so I guess you're lucky. I glance over at Lissa. She slumps back in her chair and covers her mouth with her palm. Junction Creek announces a set break. The Cure pipes through the tinny overhead speakers, and Jess the waitress comes by to take our drink orders. I shift in my chair and turn to Wayne. So Wayne, what are you taking in school?
That was ID, written in red, by Vanessa Mariga. Mariga's next story tonight is called VIP. Let's hear that one now.
VIP by Vanessa Mariga. Journalists swarm, cameras flash, and clubgoers string all the way down Lincoln Drive. Lincoln Drive runs parallel to Ocean Drive in South Beach, the modeling agency capital of North America, just outside of Miami. Mimi's dad bought a condo 3 blocks east of Ocean Drive. Marble floors, 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, ocean view, and $250,000 American dollars made up Mimi's dad's new winter home. Mimi's dad phoned and offered to fly Mimi to South Beach for spring break. She said that sounded great, but she would be lonely. Mimi's dad flew me to South Beach to keep Mimi company. Mimi and I pull ourselves out of a cab in front of the club level on Lincoln Drive. Our early morning flight back to Toronto leaves in a little over 11 hours. Mimi and I spent the afternoon on the beach and flipped through the society pages of Ocean Drive magazine to determine the site of our South Beach adventure grand finale. Photographers spotted Eminem and Madonna at level last weekend. I glance at the people that string down Lincoln Drive behind a red velvet rope. Armani suits, Prada shoes, and Gucci handbags dot the line of people. I don't know, Mimi. This place looks pretty swinging. Think we can keep up with this crowd? I straighten the creases on my pink sleeveless top and tug at the hem of my short black skirt. Shit, Nessie, I didn't pay $175 American dollars for these pants for nothing. Mimi tugs at the waist of her new beige hip huggers and wiggles. The waistline on Mimi's new pants plunges low. She had to ditch her thong. Blue ribbons lace back and forth up her back and hold her top in place. All right, Mimi, but from the looks of the lineup, I don't think that we're going anywhere. I glance down at my shoulder and pick up flakes of burnt skin. I look up, and Mimi weaves through the throng of journalists and clubgoers crowded in front of Level. She saunters over to the bouncer at the front of the red velvet rope. Hey, Mimi, wait up. Where are you going? We can't just butt in front of all these people. I scurry towards her, teeter in my new black stilettos, and grab her elbow to steady myself. Jesus, Vanessa, you look like a strung-out crack cocaine whore when you try to walk in those shoes. Just try to look cool. Admit it, we look really hot tonight. Just follow me. Mimi struts up to the bouncer and folds her arms across her chest. Good evening, ladies. How are you tonight? The bouncer wears a black bow tie and a black suit. Mimi looks at the marquee above the bouncer's head, narrows her eyes, and bites her bottom lip. What type of music is the DJ spinning tonight? I peer at the bouncer over Mimi's shoulder and smile. Mimi jabs me with her elbow. I fold my arms across my chest and shift my weight to my right foot. Whatever you ladies want to hear tonight, we got it. The bouncer smiles and nods. What's up with all the journalists? Mimi flips her long, straight red hair over her shoulder and glances towards a reporter who chats into a camera behind us. Tonight's a big fashion show, hot new label straight from Paris. But that only runs till midnight, then they roll away the catwalk and the real party begins. I don't know. What's the cover? Mimi sighs and taps her foot. $40, but you ladies don't need to worry about that. The bouncer unhooks the red velvet rope and holds his arm out. Thanks, I guess we'll check it out. Mimi looks at me and shrugs. I clear my throat and look at my watch. Yeah, what the hell? Thanks. Mimi and I strut through the doorway, clutch each other's arms, and squeal. Holy shit, Mimi, that was fucking awesome how you worked that guy. Mimi dusts her finger on her shoulder. All you gotta do is look good and act like you always have someplace better to be. Colored lights flash, bass thunders, and beautiful people mill. A white catwalk juts out onto the black marble dance floor. Red velvet drapes over the walls, and tiny white lights twinkle behind the three bars. Level ceiling towers 5 stories high. 2 bulky men with black ties and black suits stand in front of a spiral staircase roped off with a red velvet cord. Models strut, sashay, and prance down the runway. Camera flashes flicker, pens scribble, and journalists nod as the models stream up and down the catwalk. Mimi and I order a Corona, and we each pay $9 plus tip. I squeeze my lemon through the neck of the bottle and suck the sour juice off of my index finger and thumb. Mimi stands next to me, sips her Corona, bobs her head to the bass drum, and points to the waif on the catwalk. You know, she would be a lot hotter if she had any tits. Check it out, her rib cage sticks out further than her tits. Ugh! No kidding. At least she doesn't have thick ankles, though. I snicker and sip my Corona. A bulky bouncer in a black tie and black suit approaches Mimi. He leans close to her, shouts something into her ear, and points to me. The heavy bass drowns out the bouncer's voice. I tug on Mimi's elbow. Memes, are we getting kicked out? Are we not hot enough? What's the guy saying? Do we have to stand closer to the back of the club until the fashion show is over? Mimi holds up her finger to the bouncer and mouths the words, 1 minute, please. I tug harder on her elbow. What? What is it? What does he want? Mimi leans towards me. A smile creeps across her face and she winks at me. He wants to know if we want VIP access. He asked if we had any other friends here or if it was just the two of us. He'll escort us through security and upstairs to the VIP lounge so we can watch the rest of the fashion show in style. South Beach style, Nessie. Holy shit, Mimi, sign me up. I straighten my pink top, fluff my hair, and hike my short black skirt up an inch or two. All right, Nessie, Just be sure not to wipe out in those damn stilettos of yours on that spiral staircase, and we're good to go. Mimi nods at the bouncer. We follow the bulky bouncer in the black tie and black suit. He nods to the other bouncers at the staircase. They lift the red velvet cord, and Mimi and I strut up the spiral staircase. Floating candles burn in crystal dishes. Black leather benches line the walls. Salvador Dali's hang on the walls. Diamonds twinkle on necklaces, and cigar smoke curls in the air. Models and businessmen lounge, loll, and sprawl on the black leather benches. The muffled bass filters through the floor. A thick silence sits in the air. A cover girl stares at Mimi and I over the rim of her wine glass. She holds a long, thin, black cigarette holder, wears a short, dark red Versace dress, and whispers to an Argentinian man in a Prada suit. I clutch my Corona and lean towards Mimi. Mimi, that woman is in the commercial for the new lipstick I bought yesterday, and I think that her dress costs more than my tuition at U of T. Mimi runs her hands over her hips and exhales. She slinks over to a table littered with empty crystal champagne glasses. Mimi picks up the leather-bound drink menu and leafs through it. You know what, Nessie? Our flight leaves pretty early in the morning. Mimi bites her knuckle and passes the drink menu to me. White wine, $350. Red wine, $350. Champagne, $565. Cognac, $3,500. I gasp. I smile at Mimi, look over my shoulder, and nod towards the spiral staircase. Mimi and I descend and spiral back down onto the dance floor. I grip the staircase railing. My stilettos click on each step. As we lower onto the dance floor, the intensifying thunder of the bass drowns out the click of my shoes. Pink, blue, green, yellow, and purple lights flash and flicker. I loosen my grip on the railing. Mimi and I pause on the last step. The bouncers nod at us and unhook the red velvet cord. Bulky bouncers roll away the white catwalk. People in tight shirts, colorful wigs, and platform shoes swarm onto the black marble dance floor. We weave through the crowd, past the bar, and push through the heavy black door onto Lincoln Drive. As the door thuds behind us, the pound of the bass muffles, and I shudder in the cool Miami night air.
That was Vanessa Mariga reading her story, VIP. The final story on tonight's program from Vanessa Mariga is called Ryan and the Glitter Rocker. Let's hear that one now.
Ryan and the Glitter Rocker by Vanessa Mariga. Lissa pulls into my driveway and I bound out to her Mazda. My mom flicks on the porch light and shouts, "Now girls, don't come home too late, too drunk, and don't you dare sit on any of the toilet seats at the bar because that's how I got pregnant with Vanessa." Lissa parks her Mazda at the train station across Elgin Street from the Townhouse Tavern in downtown Sudbury. A muffled Junction Creek cover of Keep On Rockin' in the Free World filters through the chipped blue bricks of the townhouse. Empty beer bottles prop open the three small windows. Shouts, laughter, and cigarette smoke spill out into the street. Lissa and I dart across Elgin Street, toss a loonie to the man slumped outside of the Elgin Street shelter, skip up the steps of the townhouse, and pull open the blue door. Richard the bouncer greets us and offers to watch our jackets for us. Thick clouds of cigarette smoke hang over an old man who plays pool with a frat boy. Water drips from the ceiling behind the bar into a metal pail. Lissa and I push our way up to the bar. I order a rye and coke, and Lissa orders a Labatt Blue. Tyler, the bartender, smiles, pops the lid off of Lissa's blue, drops some ice into my rye and coke, and slides the drinks across the bar, past the jars of pickled eggs. I pull three toonies and four quarters out of my wallet and tell Tyler to keep the change. Lissa and I pick up our drinks and turn around to survey the bar. Ryan, clad in woolly socks, hiking boots, khaki shorts, a gray t-shirt, and a blue hooded sweatshirt saunters through the door with Pat, Dan, and Mike. Ryan spots me and Lissa, smiles, waves, and weaves his way through the crowd. He weasels in between me and Lissa, orders a moose head from Tyler, and slips his arms around Lissa's and my shoulders. "Hey there, girls. How are you guys doing on this fine August evening?" "Hey, Ryan. Not too bad. It looks like vacation is treating you well." I smile and return the half-hug. "Oh, you bet. I'm looking forward to the end-of-summer party at your sister's new apartment next weekend. It'll be nice to see everyone one last time before we all head off in our separate directions." Ryan swigs his beer. "Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Just as long as we don't spill anything on my sister's new carpet. Hey, by the way, do you know who's headlining tonight?" I sip my Ryan Coke and poke at the ice cubes in the glass with my straw. "I don't know, some crazy band from Toronto." Ryan shrugs. I'm going to stake a spot out by the soundboard." Electric guitar feedback squeals through the bar. Double bass drum thrashes. Pyrotechnic explosions singe the low ceiling, and colored lights flash. The crowd pushes towards the 10-by-15-foot plywood riser, the townhouse's stage. Lissa and I nudge our way through the crowd. On the stage, a blur of fun fur, rhinestones, spandex, bearskin, and Fender guitars gyrate. Silk scarves of electric violet, hot pink, and lemon yellow dangle from a mic stand. The lead singer straddles, bumps, and grinds the mic stand and squeals lyrics about rocking our town. "Hello, Sudbury. You're nothing but a bunch of lousy motherfucking miners. Woo-hoo!" The lead singer lunges his left leg forward, extends his right arm over the crowd, and shakes his fist. The crowd claps, cheers, and a drunk guy from the front row screams, "Rock on, brother!" Listen, I look at each other, shrug our shoulders, smile, and clap. "Woo, there are some hot bitches in this audience tonight. Look at this blonde chick. I'll bet that she likes it up the ass. Look at her. She's pushed herself right up to the front fucking row just to get a close-up look at my cock." The lead singer struts to the edge of the stage and thrusts his spandex-covered crotch in the face of the blonde girl. "You like the look of that bulge, eh? Well, maybe I'll let you suck it after the show." The crowd flies into a frenzy. The blonde girl jumps up and down and waves her arms in the air. Lissa and I slink towards the back of the crowd. I glance over my shoulder and spot Ryan. He holds a beer in each hand, wears a huge smile on his face, stomps the floor with his foot, screams "Woo!" and waves back at me. "Well, we're the best goddamn motherfucking band in this shitty country of ours. We are rock and roll. After we blow your minds out with our music, we're gonna get really drunk with you pathetic losers. Then we're gonna have anal sex with your girlfriends and mothers in the alley behind this shithole, and then we're gonna fuck off right out of this shitty town, and you'll be lucky if you ever see us again." Floorboards shake, electric guitars wail, sweat glistens, bass drum thunders, and the crazy glitter rock band from Toronto plays three encores. My ears ring, my hands feel raw, my throat burns, and my feet ache. I check my watch. 3 a.m. "That was a wild show, but I'm ready to go home now." Lissa nods. "Yeah, me too. I don't think that I'll ever be able to look at fun for her spandex the same way again." Lissa and I head towards the door. I feel a tug on the sleeve of my shirt. I turn, and the glitter rocker bass player stands in front of me. "You girls aren't leaving now, are you?" The glitter rocker bass player wears a pink fun fur crop jacket, a black fishnet torn shirt, bright green spandex shorts, blue patent leather platform shoes, and heavy dark eyeliner. Glitter shimmers on his bare chest, and two silver hoops dangle from each of his nipples. Lissa and I look at each other, then back at the bass player. Yeah, it's been a long night. But you guys were really good, though. That was some great showmanship." I clear my throat and clutch my purse. "Well, you guys have to come and check us out in Toronto whenever you're down there. My name is Link." He holds up his index fingers and points them at one another. "Oh, like a sausage, Link. Well, I'm Vanessa and this is Lissa." I smile. Lissa jabs me with her elbow. Say, do you guys know where I can score some wicked weed? Is it on a shelf or in someone's pocket? Lissa and I stare, our mouths slightly ajar. We look at each other and shrug. I lean in towards Lissa. What the hell is he talking about? On a shelf or in someone's pocket? Is that some kind of new lingo that I've never heard before? Are we lame? Lissa shakes her head. I haven't got a freaking clue. All I know is that I don't have any pot, and I don't know anyone in here who would either. Well, we don't have any. Sorry. Aw, are you sure that it's not on a shelf? Or under a chair? Or maybe the monkey ate it? Link looks at us and waits. I suck in a big breath through my teeth. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. See that guy back there? He's sitting at the table with the group of guys that look like some sort of lumberjack hunter-angler society meeting. See the guy in the baby blue baseball cap and blue hooded sweatshirt? I put my arms around Link's shoulder and point him towards the back of the bar. Yeah, I see him. Baby blue baseball cap. His back is to us, right? Yeah, that's right. Well, his name is Ryan Keeley. He's a huge pot dealer. Huge. Just go and ask him for some. He can hook you up. Ryan will pretend that he doesn't know what you're talking about. He may even act shocked that you're asking him for drugs. But just keep pushing. Just call him by name and tell him to quit screwing around, that you're the real deal. Okay? Lissa leans towards me. Oh my god, Vanessa, Ryan's going to kill you. But goddammit, it's going to be worth it. Wow, thanks. You girls have a good night. Look me up in Toronto. Ryan, eh? Link hugs Lissa and me and slinks towards Ryan. I mingle with the crowd at my sister's new apartment. I hear a knock over the chatter and music. I pull open the door, and Ryan stands in his hiking boots, khaki shorts, and freshly pressed plaid shirt. Hey, Rye, what a great show the other night, eh? A smile creeps across my face, and I hold the door open. Ryan scratches his head and leans on the door frame. You know, the strangest thing happened to me after you left the townhouse. I tug at my earlobe and cover my smile with my palm. Really? What happened? Ryan shakes his head, bites his bottom lip, tries not to smile, and points his finger at me. You bitch.
That was Ryan and the Glitter Rocker, written and read by Vanessa Mariga. And that concludes Life Rattle number 1306. Arnie Ackman recorded Vanessa Mariga reading her stories. My name is Virginia Ashbury. Life Rattle is produced from Toronto and was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman.